Well, this past Wednesday at 3:30 in the morning, I drove my wife, Carolyn, and Bobby Ramirez to the airport and so they could catch their plane and head out on the mission trip to Mexico. And it's probably been about 6 months since the preparations began for this trip. And I'll tell you, a lot of work went into it. There were months of planning, months of preparing, months of practicing and raising funds, just getting all the things done. And through all that time, there was an excitement that was building and you know, it was just continuing to grow, leading up to the taking off, the being right there at the airport, getting ready to depart, to go on their mission. And I hung around the airport for probably about 45 minutes, and I watched all the team coming in, and you know, they came in with their yellow Team Mexico 2012 T-shirts on, and they were truly excited. I mean, here it was 3:30 in the morning, and it was obvious that they had developed a relationship, that they had developed into a team. They were laughing and talking and hugging one another, and like I said, this is 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Every one of them, I'm sure, would have been in bed. And what made it especially exciting and gave it a great purpose was the fact that they were really on a mission. They weren't just meeting for no reason. They weren't just, you know, hanging out at the airport. Hey, let's go up to the airport and hang out, you know, and get together and laugh and talk and hug one another. They weren't there for that. They were there because they were on a mission. They were going somewhere. They were doing something. They were getting ready to embark on this mission. And even though each one of them decided to go on that trip for many different reasons, many various reasons, the truth is they were actually all commissioned by Christ. They were commissioned to go on this trip for God's greater purpose of building His church. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. He said, "I will build my church." Jesus has a personal interest in building the church because the church is His body. And we talked about this, in fact, just a couple weeks ago. I spoke about the body of Christ. And building the body of Christ means that we're rescuing people from out of the darkness and bringing them into the body, into the light. Out of darkness, into the light, into the body of Christ. And Jesus first explained, to some degree, this process back in Luke 4:18, when He made a very bold proclamation for that time and in the place He was. It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus had gone to the synagogue on Saturday, just, you know, as usual, going to temple. And the attendant handed Him a scroll, and the scroll was the prophet Isaiah. And He unrolled it, and He began to read, and this is what it said. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," the Holy Spirit's on me, "because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then He rolled up the scroll, He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And it says the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was explaining the rescue plan. Why He was here, what He was going to do, what the Holy Spirit was leading Him to do, to rescue people, to free the people, to free the prisoners, set the captives free through the power of the Holy Spirit. What he was doing was laying the foundation for the church. He was saying, "The Spirit of God's on me to do this, and shortly the Spirit of God is going to be on us to continue to do this." In Acts 1:8, Jesus enlisted others. us, all believers, as his helpers, as his co-laborers. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In today's language, he would say, you will be my witnesses in Melvindale, downriver, in Michigan, in the United States, and in all the countries of the world. It doesn't matter whether we're in Mexico, whether we're in East Dearborn, whether we're in Southwest Detroit, whether we're at home or talking to our neighbor next door or at the grocery store. God has filled us with his Spirit, so wherever we are, we can be his ministers, his evangelists, his ambassadors, his missionaries on this earth. And this is not beyond the ability of any one of us. God's Holy Spirit is in us, and his Holy Spirit is giving us what we need, and he wants us to speak and to share the glory of God. He wants to do it through us, each one of us, every one of us. It's not for just a select few. It's not for just 20 people that go to Mexico. It's not for just a pastor. It's not for just an evangelist. It's not for just a group that go to this place. It's for every one of us. Because the fact is we have all been commissioned by Christ. Every one of us. He sent us. He is sending us. Jesus has made the point very clear. In fact, he told us so clear, he put it in all four Gospels and all throughout the New Testament. But each Gospel, he even tells us. Matthew 28:19. Ray read it this morning. Came to me with it. I said, Ray, that's right out of my message. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Luke 9:60. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Wow, that's mean, isn't it? Jesus said that. Let the dead bury their own, but I can't go now. I have to bury, I have to bury someone. No, let the dead bury the dead. You got a job to do proclaiming the kingdom of God. In other words, what he was saying is don't get taken away by worldly matters, by worldly business. Don't get carried away by, all the stuff, all the things, all the cares of this world. There's a greater purpose, seeking first the kingdom of God. John 20:21, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am commissioning you. We've been sent by God. Every one of us has been commissioned. We're on a mission to build God's kingdom. We're on a mission to spread the gospel. We're on a mission to build the church. We're on a mission. We've been co-missioned. Being saved was never meant to be the end game. It's not the end of the road. It's not all done. You know what it was? That's when we actually just got enlisted in God's army, when we got saved. If that had been the only thing that mattered, just get saved and we're all done, then God would have taken us home right when we got saved. That way he could be sure to get us in there. But there was work to be done. Paul one time said, I would love to go, but it's better for you that I stay. God doesn't take us home right away when we get saved. We have a job to do. We have to spread the message. We have to help others find the truth so they can in turn be rescued and help save others. It wasn't too long ago that the Avengers movie came out. I had person after person tell me how great that movie was. All kinds of people asked me if I had seen it yet. Hey, have you seen the Avengers yet? Man, that is really a good movie, man. It's got all the heroes in it, you know, and it's better than all the other ones. It's really a good movie, you know. And they shared their good news with me. The good news was they finally saw a good movie. Well, I did go see it, and it was good. It was good. If you like those kind of movies, thank you. It was good. I enjoyed it. I like action. I like adventure. I like that. So here it is 7 weeks later, and that movie has made about $1.5 billion. It's the third highest grossing movie of all time, right after Avatar and the Titanic. And yeah, it was a good movie. But you know what? It's already fading away. I was looking at, I went on the online and looked at boxofficemojo.com if you ever want to find out what's going on with the movies. And it shows you the weekly gross, the daily gross. The first weekend it made about $80 million or something like that. Or maybe that was one day, I don't know, but it was a lot. I think it was actually just in one day. Now it's down to about $1 million a day. Chump change, right? Yeah, who needs a million? Million and a half, you know. Some theaters, I looked at, it tells you how many theaters it's in, what they're making a theater. Theaters are making $400 or $500 now on it. At first they were making thousands. When it gets to the point where it's not making any money, they quit showing it. That's how the whole thing is determined, how long it's in the theater. How many theaters are showing it? There were 4,000 some theaters showing it. Now there's probably maybe 3,000. The volume is going way down. The movie is fading. Pretty soon, who's going to be thinking about the Avengers? How many of you are talking about Avatar now? Or the Titanic? That movie. How can a movie compare with the truth of salvation? How can a movie compare to eternal life, to no pain, no sorrow, only joy, pleasure forevermore, love, peace, and eternity with God who loves us? That's the best news there is. If we want to get excited and tell somebody about something, think about it. Avengers, God. Avatar, salvation. Titanic, salvation. Latest restaurant, salvation. You try to name something else that equals, that's as important as eternity and salvation, there's nothing. I just mentioned the movie because it was such a big deal when it came out. The election of 2012. Most important election of our lifetime. In 2014, and they don't even hardly remember that one. They'll be talking about the next election. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything in our history, it just comes and goes. Except one thing, Jesus. He still hasn't left because he's alive today. He's real today, and there's still millions, hundreds of millions, even in the billions of people who don't know Christ, who are still lost in the darkness. And we have this good news that can help bring them into the light and save them. And it won't be old in 7 weeks. It won't be passing and diminishing in value in 7 weeks. It hasn't in 7 centuries. It hasn't in 20 centuries. And it never will. Sometimes we don't realize the awesome power that has been entrusted to us. This power within us, the Holy Spirit, gives us the ability to reach into someone's life, reach into their heart, and perform an operation on them that can literally change their heart for eternity. Change the attitude of their heart and rescue them from the enemy, our enemy, the devil's kingdom of darkness. You know, they got that arthroscopic surgery where, you know, they used to have, like for instance, a gallbladder operation. They used to have to cut you all the way around. It was a terrible operation that took a long time to heal. Now, I don't, Bob, had, you had a gallbladder operation back a few years ago. His was bad. They went in arthroscopically. You go in, they take it out, just pull it out a little hole and put a little Band-Aid over it, and it's done. It just can reach right inside your body. Doesn't leave a, you know, nothing but a little scar. Now, surgeons have developed that over time. It was terrible, and they've gotten it so they can do better and better, but do those operations, do they compare in any way with what we can do through the Holy Spirit, that we can actually go right into somebody's heart, leave absolutely no scar, touch their heart and change the attitude, change the whole inside, the whole makeup of someone's heart, their mind, their thinking, their way of life. There's no doctor that can do that. There is no operation. I don't care if they take you all the way open, take your heart out, put it out on the operating table, spend months changing it and working on it. They cannot change your heart. But the Holy Spirit, not us, the Holy Spirit inside of us can give us that ability to do that. So we're surgeons. We're not only evangelists, missionaries, witnesses, but we're surgeons. We're miracle workers through the power of God. Not on our own. None of that's on our own. It's not our wisdom. It's not our persuasive arguments, even though we may be good at it. It's not our impassioned pleas, even though that may touch them. But those aren't the things that will win people over. It's the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us who speaks to their heart and convicts them of sin and reveals God's love to them. We're the vessel that God uses to speak through. That's a privilege to be used by God to change someone's life so dramatically that they will change over from darkness to light, from death to eternal life. We get to be a part of that. We just have to be trusting in God, be willing, a willing partner, and just be obedient and let Him do the rest. Matthew 10:19 says, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." That particular scripture is talking about when somebody had to go to a court, and same thing, they were worried about what to say. He said, "Don't worry about it. Holy Spirit will speak through you when the time is right." That's how God does it. He puts the Spirit in us, and the Spirit can motivate us and speak through us. We just need to let our mouth and our tongue be instruments of God's Holy Spirit as though God himself were literally speaking through you. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Same thing. As though God were making us go, as though God were speaking through us. That's what he does. He gets a hold of us and he puts the words in our mouth. Guy was sharing that story about the man on the phone. Ray shared the story about the people at his table for his one of his bosses at work. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter who we're with. It doesn't matter, you know, God knows what's going on inside of them. He knows their needs. He knows what's happening with them. We just have to be, we could just be walking by. I've heard stories of Bob just walking by. Oh, God just told me to go tell this guy, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. Guy breaks down crying. What's the matter? My wife just died, and I was worried about her. I'm wondering if she was going to be all right. And you come up and tell me, God just wanted me to tell you, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. That's how God works. We just have to be open to the Spirit of God and just let him use us. And we don't know what's going to come out of our mouth. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be a prayer of salvation. It could be just a, you know, it could be a hug. It could be, you know, God just wanted me to tell you he loves you. You know, you just don't know what it's going to be. But those few words, if they were really directed by the Holy Spirit, can change a life. Might seem silly to you sometimes. Might seem foolish to you sometimes. You might feel like you're going to be a fool if you go tell somebody this. But if you feel it's the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of this world, remember, is foolishness to God. And even though we may feel like a fool, when God's telling us to do it, it's really wisdom. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I think it's pretty amazing when you think about it that God would trust us that much, that he would send such an important life-saving message, you know, to somebody that he loves, to somebody that he's looking to rescue, that he would send this message that could actually determine their eternal consequence, the eternal consequences of their life, whether they live or die, that he would send that message through me or you, through us. Wow. Our mission is just to speak the truth as we know it, as we are led by the Holy Spirit. In some ways, it seems so amazing and so awe-inspiring and it may be complicated, but in other ways, it's just so simple. Oh, Esther, can you just tell Fred I'll be there at 3 o'clock? Oh, okay. Fred, Pastor John said he'll be there at 3. Okay, simple. Simple thing, right? We just pass the message along. That's how God can speak to us. Just pass the message along. We do that all the time. Oh, tell them I'll be there in 5 minutes. Tell them I'm almost ready. We might be thinking, well, I'm not everybody else. I don't know if I can do this. That's exactly right. You're not everybody else. And you can't really do this. But God can do this through you. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. We can't by ourselves. Our self has no interest. This self, this flesh, has no interest in helping someone get to heaven. Myself doesn't. Myself is carnal. It's fleshly. It just wants to feed itself. It wants to, you know, it wants to satisfy its cravings and its appetites. Our flesh, that's all it ever wants. It's our spirit. I have to say it again. I say it all the time, and I'll say it again. We are not flesh and blood with a spirit inside. We are a spirit with a temporary flesh covering. And this fleshly covering is going to die and fade away. But the real me, the real you, is going to live on. And life is so fleeting. I mean, this world has been around for thousands of years, not millions, thousands of years. Hundreds or thousands, whatever, of generations of people, families, gone. You know, you start getting up there in age a little bit, you start realizing, like, hey, I'm on the downside of this thing. I'm going to be gone from here. But I'm not really gone. I'm just somewhere else. It's like I'm going away. I'm moving, you know? And I'm going to a lot nicer place. Who wants to move to a place where it only rains at night? It's beautiful, sunny, somewhere between low 80s to mid 90s every single day. Not too humid. Beautiful lakes, palm trees maybe. Free food, free everything. I mean, like on a constant vacation, you know? You can move there. I'll give you a ticket. Anybody want one? Sure, you know? Everybody could take that. You can take your family. You can take all your friends, everyone close to you. How many tickets you want? No problem. No cost. We'll fly you there. We'll get you there. That's too good to be true. Almost seems like it's too good to be true. That's why some people have a hard time believing in salvation. It's too easy. It's, you know, I just got to give my heart to Jesus. I don't believe in heaven. It is true. Each one of us can do that. Each one of us can share that message, because we've all been sent. We've all been commissioned. And each one of us, like I was saying a minute ago, we're not like other people. And, you know, none of us are like other people because we're ourselves. And each one of us is unique. We've heard it before. We're unique in our own special way. And it was that special way, that special uniqueness, that God designed us that way. And he designed us that way because he had a special need, a special opening, a special opportunity that was going to materialize and open up for us, that is going to, we're like the piece of a puzzle that only fits in just us, so that we can speak to that person, so that we can do that work, that thing that God needs done. That's why God designed us the way we are. We're not accidents. We weren't a product of a lightning bolt hitting a puddle of mud. I love it, the fact that as hard as the evolutionists and the liberal theology has been pushing that down everybody's throat the last 30 or some years or so, actually, a lot longer than that, but over the last 30 years, they've been measuring it, and they say that it just isn't shifting. People aren't believing. They're still believing. The majority of Americans still don't believe in evolution. Still, most people, strangely enough, still believe God created the world. Somehow the truth is still hanging on, and we got to be the ones that speak that truth. So we have to keep ourselves alert and keep our eyes open to make the most of every opportunity, Ephesians 5:16, because God has prepared particular opportunities with you in mind. however bold you are, however shy you are, however young you are, how old you are, doesn't matter whether you're white, black, Latino, Oriental, it doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female, it doesn't matter whether you're a kid or, you know, little kid, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything. None of that matters. What that means is just, that means in that whatever we are, whatever the combination of all those things that we are, that we were perfectly made so that at some point God's going to bring this around here and that around there, and then you come up through here and he says, that's it right there. I've got it all together now. Now is your chance. That's your opportunity that you're supposed to make the most of. Some people call them divine appointments. They happen all the time. But we have to have our eyes open. We have to look. We have to be alert. We have to see. We have to realize that God has commissioned us to be there at that time to speak for him. Because that person needs to hear those words right then. That situation needs to be touched by God's hand right then. And we're his hand. We're his mouth. Maybe we're his ears that time. Someone needs to speak and just share something. God has commissioned you to touch that person's life in a way that only you can. Nobody else in the world might be able to bring that person to Christ in that moment except you. I still find that just amazing. Matthew 9:37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. God is telling us that there is a harvest out there. The field is ripe, but there aren't enough workers to go out there. Not enough people that are willing to get their hands dirty, to go out and get the job done. What happens to the crops if nobody picks them? Think about it. I think we know, right? They die. And God says the harvest is ready. John 4:35, Jesus says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. In other words, no, later on, I'll do it later on. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about people all around us that are ripe, that are ready. There's no reason to wait. That's what he's saying. In 4 months. You know, in 5 months' time, I'll have finished studying the New Testament. I'll have read it all through. Then I'll go out and share. Well, by that time, I'll be out of school. Or by that time, I'll be, you know, in a new job. By that time, I'll have, you know, finished this and done that. Then I can share it. No. God says, now. The harvest is ripe. There's no reason to wait. We'll never have all the knowledge. We'll never be without sin. We'll never be totally confident in knowing that, you know, at least not in ourselves, that we can do it. It may never seem like the perfect time. But our job is just to be willing and available to spot that open opportunity, to see that opportunity and make the most of it, the ones that God presents to us, to step through that door and let God use us. Jesus said many times, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit as he leads us. We don't have to trust in ourselves. We don't have to trust in our ability. We only have to trust in God in us. That's a comforting thing. I don't have to trust in myself. I trust in God in me. Because if you are willing, God is able. He's able to do more than we can ask or imagine. I was thinking last night, if he can make a mule talk and give him the right words to say, I think he can tell me what to say. Right? I mean, how do you tell a mule what to say? How do you tell someone to listen to him? But he did it. And if he can do that, I'm sure he can use me. See, if we say that I can't do that, what we're saying then is God can't do that. Think about that. If I can't do this, if I can't share my faith, if I can't rescue someone, if I can't speak as the Holy Spirit leads me, God can't do it then. God doesn't know how to make me work. He can make a mule work. He can open up the seas. He can bring pillars of fire and pillars of clouds, and he can do all these things, but he hasn't figured out how to work me yet. Right? Is that possible? No, that's not even possible. That means there's only one reason why it can't work. I guess it means I don't listen, right? Maybe I'm rebellious. Maybe I just, don't want to do it. So it's not that we can't. We can. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. So we should be ready. It's telling us right there. We have a hope in us. We have our hope is certain. We have a salvation that's from God. We have an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a Savior. We have a place that's ready for us up in heaven. We have people waiting for us. We have, the previous witnesses that are crowds that are up there are waiting, for us. There's angels that are up there. God's up there. I mean, Jesus is up at the right hand of the Father interceding, already saved us, ready to bring us up. There's all this. We have this hope. There's things that we know about. We should be able to share some of that. That's what it says. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be prepared in season and out of season. Because God wants to sometimes send us in a situation at a moment's notice. Sometimes it's planned, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have time to prepare ourselves, sometimes we don't. I like to be prepared. I'm sure most of you probably like to be prepared. But sometimes you can't prepare for an emergency. You can't prepare for certain things that come up. In that case, our preparation is just learning how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learning to be available. God knows exactly what's needed in that situation. And he wouldn't bring us there if we couldn't somehow do it. He's not going to call you there and ask you to lift a 10,000-pound piece of steel off of somebody. Now, if he did, strangely enough, you would be able to lift it. But probably that's not going to happen. Whatever he tells you to do is something you'll be able to do. Our mission team is down in Mexico now, over 20 people. They planned, they prepared, they prayed that God would use them. And God will use them through all the stuff that they planned. But he's also going to use them in ways that they never expected. Ways they didn't plan for. Ways they didn't practice for. And they did a lot of practice. They practiced their music, they practiced their skits, they practiced all the different things they're going to do. But what makes the trip so exciting is when you do the things that are unexpected, that God, uses you for. These guys, what they did is they put themselves in a situation now where they're totally out of their element. They're in a foreign land. They don't recognize anything. They don't recognize anyone, any place. They can't even speak the language there, most of them. And they were inserted into this situation, and now they're saying, God, use me. And it's pretty cool when you do something like that, because that's exactly what God does then. He uses you. But can that only happen in Mexico? No. It can happen anywhere we are, any day, any hour, any minute, any time, with any one of us. We've all been commissioned by Christ. We're all on the mission field looking for lost souls. The fields are ripe, but the workers are few. And we have been commissioned by Christ to be those workers. So today I'm asking you to accept the challenge. And that brings to mind something, a program that we started back about 3 or 4 months ago. I'm going to mention it again. And that is the little cards that we give out. The invite, you know, cards. We have those cards. They're available. I know we had about 80-some people sign up for that. We've been getting back about, you know, 8, 10 a month out of the 80. And that 8 or 10 is usually from about 4 or 5 people. So I'm not quite seeing the enthusiasm for that. That's just one thing. Maybe we didn't fill out a card, but maybe we asked people. I'm just throwing that out there. It's not even in my notes. It's just something that popped into my mind. But, you know, we got to be open. We got to be ready. We got to be looking. And God's challenging us. And so I want to close it with a prayer today, and I want to have you pray with me. Just a short prayer. If you just take a moment now. If you could just close your eyes, let's just pray to God. Dear Father, I want to make a difference. I want to build your church. I want to seek first your kingdom. I want to help bring in the harvest. I want to see the opportunities that you have for me. I accept the commission that you've given me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If I could have the prayer.